welcome to the Advisor Pack monthly session. This is your opportunity to get some advice. If you're implementing the Advisor Pack monthly program in the sequence that we provide you the projects, then this is your opportunity to get questions answered. We collect your questions, which are easy for you to submit on every page of the Advisor Pack monthly website. There's a link that says contact us. So as you're implementing, the idea is there's no reason for you to get stuck or need direction. So as you have questions, then simply submit your questions through the contact us link, and we will sort through them and deal with them during this monthly session. Now, normally, each and every month, we have lots of questions. This time, I think due to the holidays, we had less questions, and we had a little bit less time in between sessions. But we did receive one question that I thought was huge that I want to invest most of today's session dealing with. Just for those of you that are new to the program, the Advisor Pact monthly program is focused around the Advisor Pact pledge. It's a pledge that you make to every ideal client, focused around what we call the four client expectations: protection, attention, coordination, transparency. Now, we've been working on this for nearly 30 years and studying the affluent and successful affluent people. And it's these four things that the affluent swear they cannot find in financial advisors anywhere at any price. So we focus the entire program on delivering something that we call truly comprehensive financial services. In other words, a way to radically differentiate the services that you provide clients so that you're a financial services monopoly and you're addressing all four of the things that potential clients claim they can't find anywhere at any price. So, you know, you become the only game in town. And the idea with this program is to implement a set of services that are so unique that your clients actually become your marketing department. They just cannot resist introducing you to everybody that they know and love and care about. So, the question that I wanted to deal with today came in from an advisor that's relatively new to the program. I think 6 weeks in the program. So working on, I believe, two of the monthly projects. He didn't specify, but the question goes like this. I'm new to the Advisor Pack monthly program, and I decided to go back and watch all of the previous episodes of the monthly session, which, by the way, we recommend. He didn't specify how he did it. What we recommend is that you start by watching last month's episode and then block time on your calendar to go backwards in chronology. So to kind of watch the most current ones first, but to block time to go back and watch, ultimately to watch them all. Now, this is, of course, assuming that you're on track to the monthly project that we provide you. So the monthly project takes number one priority. But I'm in agreement that going back and watching past episodes will help you accelerate your progress. So on to the question. In one episode, you describe Advisor Pact as a paradigm shift. Could you elaborate and also share any and all other paradigm shifts involved in the Advisor Pact monthly methodology? I want to implement exactly. So are these paradigm shifts required? And he goes on, he wonders if they're optional, these paradigm shifts. And he even went so far as to provide definitions, I guess, from the dictionary. What he provided in the ticket that he submitted to me was a definition for paradigm and a definition for shift. In other words, he wanted to kind of understand what I'm even talking about when I say paradigm shift. And in his definition, I'm assuming he got these out of the dictionary, a paradigm is described as a framework containing the basic assumptions, ways of thinking, and methodology that are currently accepted by members of a scientific community, or a cognitive framework shared by members of any discipline or group, such as the company's business paradigm. And then shift is defined as putting something aside and replacing it or exchanging it with something different. So it's basically a paradigm shift, and I agree with these definitions. It's taking the current conventional wisdom and flipping it on its head and replacing it with something that's either surprising or controversial or just different from what you thought. I guess that's my definition of paradigm shift. And I'm going to get into this, but paradigm shifts within this program. So the paradigm shifts that I'm about to share with you today that exist within the Advisor Pack methodology, they're not things that we require. What I will say is these paradigm shifts, which are changes in your way of thinking often, some you'll see as we go through it, some are and some aren't. So some of the paradigm shifts you're going to look at as, and you may think, well, that's just common sense. Well, that's because you've already made the paradigm shift and you didn't even realize it, maybe intuitively or just in your experience in working with, you know, successful, affluent clients. But regardless, some of them may be not considered paradigm shifts to you, but they are in fact paradigm shifts within the industry. So the way I would describe these paradigm shifts within our methodology is they simply represent acknowledgments of the reality of how successful affluent clients behave or think. And that they what they reflect in our method, in our process, is observations and data. In other words, we've been working with affluent clients for 30 years, and we've got a lot of research and data that original research that we've done, and we've studied, you know, practically all the research that's available in the industry regarding affluent people and how they behave and behavioral finance and all of that. And so these paradigm shifts reflect our observations as well as the data regarding what affluent, successful clients want most from their relationship with a financial advisor. And we combine that and always have with also trying to understand what are they willing to pay the most for. So, and we found a disconnect. We found a disconnect between, you know, I started out working with a Wall Street-based company back in 1987, and I had already been in the financial services industry since April 28th of 1980. But when I went to work for a Wall Street-based firm, I realized, well, we had a certain way that I was trained, and the way I was trained ends up being the conventional wisdom in the industry. So I was trained the way most financial advisors were trained over the last few decades. And then in 1999, when I started studying this, like really doing a deep dive into, you know, what is it that successful clients want most from their relationship with a financial advisor. And then you compare that, and that creates a list of things. But then on that list, you further dig and try to understand, and of those things, what are the things they're willing to pay the most for? So there's a lot of things that that affluent, successful people want from their relationship with a financial advisor, but there are just a few things that they're willing to pay the most for. So the point about the reason it's a paradigm shift is because when you compare that list with the way the financial services industry views this, these things are often different. So what the affluent want and are willing to pay the most for is often quite different from the conventional wisdom or the conventional thinking or the training, the insights within the industry. So I'm going to go into this. Now, one thing that you need to understand about this program is that this program, the Advisor Pack program, was developed at the request of financial advisors who were just kicking the tires with this whole concept of implementing truly comprehensive financial services and implementing this Advisor Pack pledge with clients, because we have a more robust program which we've developed. It's a software system called the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. Now, the only reason I mention it, because the Advisor Pack monthly program is 100% self-contained, and we understand and have come to believe that this Advisor Pack monthly program is something that certain advisors are going to stay in forever. Like this is the program that will be used by some advisors to implement truly comprehensive financial services to fill in all the gaps to fulfill the Advisor Pact pledge. And then some advisors are just do-it-yourselfers. They'd rather just build the whole thing themselves rather than the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, which was designed, you know, to not reinvent the wheel. It's the system already built. The reason I bring it up is I often, in these monthly sessions, bring in elements of the Trusted Advisor Toolkit because we've spent so many years developing that software. Part of being in the Advisor Pack monthly program is to get peeks into the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, especially when questions come up and there's content that we've created over on the toolkit that I think will fill in the gaps and help you. So we never use the Advisor Pack monthly program to encourage anybody to join the toolkit. We understand it's completely independent and self-sustaining. However, we always allow insights and peeks into the toolkit when we think it'll help. And in this case, I'm going to spend today going through content that we cover on the toolkit. And we have an entire training session that we go through with toolkit members about these paradigm shifts. So the interesting thing is each of the paradigm shifts are, and I'm going to present them in the sequence that I believe they should be dealt with. So each of these paradigm shifts I'm going to go through in a specific sequence, but the highest level, and as I go through what kind of triggers the sequence, is an overarching question. So there are five questions that drive, I believe, all the most important paradigm shifts about the way we do business, or the Advisor Pack methodology, or what we call truly comprehensive financial services. There's some different ways that there's some different realities. You could call them paradigm shifts. We call them paradigm shifts, but there's some different realities in this way of doing business that are driven by the way successful, affluent people think and are different from the industry. But all of these paradigm shifts are driven by five questions, or at least the most important paradigm shifts. So I'm sure you've read these, but we're going to walk through these five questions in sequence, and I just want you to understand what the paradigm shifts are. Now, as we go through this, again, some of these things may just seem as common sense to you. Recognize that if we cover something right now that you already have implemented, or you already believe, you know, that you don't view these as paradigm shifts because you've already embraced some of these things, well, that's great. That just means you've already made the shift in that case. But it's important to go through the entire sequence so that it fills in the whole picture, because that was the question for this month that we got from an Advisor Pact member. What are all the paradigm shifts? All right, so let's deal with the question of, I think the starting point for the entire conversation for you as an advisor is, what kind of business do you want? Are you trying to create? And some advisors want, for example, to be financial planners. Other advisors want to be money managers. Other financial advisors have different kind of business models in their heads. And the question on the table is none of that, in my opinion. The starting point is, do you want to be different in the minds of clients from all the other advisors out there? Because that is the premise of this program. The premise of this program is that every advisor is kind of sick and tired of being thrown in the same bucket with every other financial advisor when potential clients, you know, meet them and hear what they do. And, you know, it's just a classic thing that we hear from advisors, that when they try to explain what they do, which they think is different, to a potential client, that, you know, often a knee-jerk reaction from a potential client is, oh, I've already got somebody doing all that for me. So there's not an appreciation for, in the minds of clients, typically that advisors are different in any way. As a matter of fact, most what you need to know to understand this program is that most affluent people lump most financial advisors into the same bucket. So here are the paradigm shifts that drive off of this question. All right. What you need to know is that affluent clients seeking comprehensive financial services, that this is the most underserved market in the financial services industry. So you might have in your mind that, you know, I want to be a financial planner. I want to be a money manager. So you have to answer what kind of business you want. But the reality and the paradigm shift is that if you're willing to build a comprehensive financial services business model, in other words, solve the financial services dilemma for clients across all areas of finance, that this is just, it's just for you to know. The paradigm shift is, were you aware that there are millions of multimillionaires out there seeking this and unable to find advisors to do this? So it's a big gap in the marketplace. You know, you can build whatever kind of business you want, but the paradigm shift is, are you aware that this is the gap? This is what financial, not every affluent client wants comprehensive financial services, but the point and the paradigm shift is that for those who do, they're unable to find an advisor anywhere to fulfill that service. So that's the paradigm shift. And then also that the financial services that affluent clients value most and are willing to pay the most for require no licensing or experience in the financial services industry. Now, I think I want you to really let some of these settle in and think about that. Think about what you think clients value about you, because when we actually create a list of what is it that clients value most about their relationship with a financial advisor, the things on the list require no licensing or experience in the financial services industry. So these are the two paradigm shifts off of whatever your answer to the question is what kind of business do you want to have? Back to comprehensive financial services. These are kind of lesser paradigm shifts, but off of this one that acknowledges that comprehensive financial services is a big gap, it's an underserved market, is the reality that most financial advisors are actually subject matter experts and are unable or unwilling to serve a client as a lead advisor. So what you have to know in the paradigm shift here is that most financial advisors, when they sit down with a potential client, they kind of hold themselves out to the client as wanting to be the lead advisor. In other words, I'd like to be the lead or the most trusted advisor in your life. But when the client actually tests that and, you know, they watch to see if you're actually capable or willing or able to be the lead advisor, which means pulling it all together for them or coordinating everything for them, most advisors actually are unwilling to do that, or they're not able to. It's one or the other, unable or unwilling. So I think that's a question that you need to test yourself with. Regardless of what you claim or what you would like to hold yourself out to potential clients, does the fact remain that you're, what you actually deliver to clients is expertise in maybe one or two financial areas, maybe money management, maybe financial planning, but conspicuously absent are all the other areas of finance. So I think these are paradigm shifts in, you know, the type of business that you want to create. When we think about the financial services that affluent clients value most, not needing licensing, we could go quite deep into this, but the paradigm shifts off of this are that deliverables which affluent clients value most are time and convenience. So I know advisors like to think it's the actual, you know, services, the money management, the financial planning, you know, the financial services and products that you sit down and crank out for clients. That's what they value. But reality, when you study successful affluent people, if an advisor is able to save them time and make life easier for them, in other words, they don't leave the meeting with a long list of things to do, which many advisors do. They hand the client at a meeting a list of action items that need to get done. What clients actually value most is when their to-do list is zero. So, you know, does that require any licensing? I would say no. I mean, you could coordinate the other financial people in a client's life to save the client time and to make sure that the client has less or no action items on their to-do list. And you could conceivably do that, hold the other financial people in the client's life accountable with no licensing. And the paradigm shift, these are all paradigm shifts, which many advisors, or I would say the conventional thinking in the financial services industry is different. But that affluent clients are willing to pay more to the financial advisor who's able to get more done while demanding less time of the client. In other words, clients will pay the most for a financial advisor who's able to completely eliminate the client's financial to-do list. And that's a paradigm shift. Also, what financial advisors feel clients value most is often at the very bottom of the affluent client's actual prioritized list of what they do value the most and are the most willing to pay for. So it's kind of interesting that when I compare a list of what, like if I were to ask financial advisors, what do you think your clients value the most about you and the relationship with you? What are the things you're doing that they value the most? And then I compare that both in broadly in the industry, but we've done tests where we ask the clients and ask the advisor. When you compare what an advisor thinks their clients value, and then you go talk to that same advisor's clients about what they actually value, it's interesting. What the advisor says is very often at the bottom of the client's actual prioritized list of what they value most. It's quite fascinating. And it represents a paradigm shift. And that the affluent view most financial advisors as commodities. So this idea of investment management, financial planning, tax planning, estate planning, most of the things that financial advisors typically actually do for clients currently, these are things that the affluent actually view as commodities. Or the way we're defining commodity is they feel like these are services that are widely available, enough availability at a skilled level to demand a price reduction. So that when I say commodity, I'm talking about products and services that the affluent actually feel like that if they shop hard enough, they can, you know, get a lesser price for these things than you know, by doing the shopping, and that they can get and the reality is not necessarily the actual, but it is the perception of clients. And so, you know, the question is, do you want to make the thing that you provide the most and think is the most valuable to clients to be something that the client views, rightly or wrongly, as being a commodity? Another thing that's interesting and represents a paradigm shift, and I hear this quite a bit from advisors, is, you know, we put this in context. We ask advisors, you know, how often do you meet with clients? And what it ends up being with many advisors is that the larger the client, the more frequently they meet with the client. And even to the point where an advisor might say, and my top five clients get an extra meeting per year with me, or something along that line. The paradigm shift is that increased time face-to-face with a financial advisor is not viewed by the client as a deliverable, or it's not viewed by the client as something desirable. It's a hassle. The idea of meeting with an advisor, whether it's in the office or on the phone, either way, the paradigm shift is that when you study the affluent, affluent view time with the financial advisor as a hassle rather than a deliverable, and the financial services industry kind of views it differently. They think the more time with the advisor, the more you can charge, and that the research does not hold that up. And then finally, when it comes to what clients value most, it's interesting that no sales skills are required to build a multi-million-dollar financial advisory business. So, as you go up the chain and go up the ladder, and you start focusing on the most successful advisors in the financial services industry, which we work with many of them, I would say that the average advisor on the Trusted Advisor Toolkit is within the top 1% of financial advisors worldwide. So we have an opportunity to study these advisors. And it's interesting, the higher you go, the more successful the advisor, the less there, I would say it's a zero sales skills involved in the client acquisition process. So I think advisors or conventional thinking in the industry is if you want to acquire clients, you've got to acquire better sales skills or salesmanship or whatever you want to call it. And the exact opposite ends up being the case, that for the most successful financial advisors, what the way they tend to do it, and this is a bit of a template, so it's a broad generalization, but I would say in my experience, if you have to kind of describe the genre of top advisors, it's a consultative process where they've established the profile of the client that they serve best. And they simply go out and try to identify in the marketplace people that meet that profile under the theory that if you're interacting only with people that are looking for what you're doing best, then the process is quite natural. There is no sales involved. You know, once you meet somebody that fits your ideal client profile, then it's a natural, attractive proposition. You know, this is a set of services that particular client has been looking for a long time and quite frankly, probably could not find anywhere. And so therefore, it flips the whole idea that client acquisition being a sales process, it turns that completely upside down on its head. So you have to start with what kind of business do you want to have, and do you want to become radically different? Because the next question is actually, are you willing to invest the time and effort required? Now, the paradigm shift here is that most financial advisors are unwilling to invest the necessary time and effort to become radically different. That I won't go so far as to say most financial advisors are lazy, but I will say that in our experience in working with financial advisors, I think I'll just leave it at this. Most financial advisors, when they see what it takes to actually become radically different from other advisors, in other words, the time it takes to establish a process and document a process that's compelling and to build a team, then most advisors are unwilling to make the effort. And I think another paradigm shift along this line is the idea that we talked last month about the hero's journey. So this paradigm shift has to do with that the top advisors in the world, they are able to make the process compelling and fun. And that basically when they first meet with a potential client, what they're able to do is to portray this whole idea of accomplishing your financial objectives as a call to adventure. In other words, it's not just a dry, mechanical managing the money, creating a financial plan. It's not procedural. That basically it's a call to adventure. And my point is that this is a skill. It's not I think a lot of advisors look at top advisors in the world and they just think, well, they're naturally talented. It's just the way, it's their way of being. And my point is, and what we've documented and can tell you with authority, that's not true. It's a learned skill. And there is a connection here. And I made this connection between the two that it may not be sales skills, but there is a skill involved in transforming your client acquisition process from a sales process into a call to adventure, and that is a learned skill. Okay, and that most along this idea of most advisors not being willing to invest the necessary time and effort, most advisors are simply unwilling to invest the time that it takes to go out and acquire 5 skilled subject matter experts. So this idea of building a team, which is critical to our methodology, I think the paradigm shift is Most financial advisors are unwilling to take the time and make the effort to go out and find five skilled professionals. But we provide the process. The question you have to ask in your mind is, are you willing to invest the necessary time and energy and effort to go out there and actually implement the process that we will be providing you in one of our monthly projects to go out and actually build your team? So most financial advisors are not, and that's a paradigm shift. You have to be willing to do that. And then additionally, most advisors have weak process, either an incomplete or a limited checklist. And this is from the data talking to clients. So you ask clients about their advisor, or you ask clients, for example, you know, we have a routine set of questions when we interview affluent people. And by the way, Rick Barrera and I, one of my business partners in all of this, he and I have been for the last year interviewing multimillionaires, and we have a when we record them, and sometime in 2017 we're going to release these interviews in the form of a podcast. But even in that interview, and we've been researching the affluent for years and reading other research on the affluent. And when you talk to affluent people and ask them, have you ever had an advisor that has, you know, an adequate or complete process, a very robust process to coordinate your financial affairs? The overwhelming answer is no. And then when you drill further and you ask, what about friends of yours, owners of businesses or other highly affluent, successful people, you know, friends of yours, peers, relatives, neighbors, has anybody ever described their advisor in this way as having a very robust process, something that, you know, you can't do without, and they twist your arm? You know, they basically tell you that you'd be foolish not to work with their advisor. And the answer there is no. I mean, I think we've done 17 interviews for the podcast. We've never had one multimillionaire say that they've ever had an advisor like this, nor have they had any of their friends or peers or relatives or people they care about refer them to an advisor claiming that they have a complete or, you know, thorough, comprehensive checklist. So the process is weak, and the paradigm shift in addition to that is most advisors are unable or unwilling to provide comprehensive financial services. It's chicken or an egg time, where you get to decide on this particular paradigm shift, which came first. Is it that the advisors have an incomplete checklist and therefore are unable to provide comprehensive financial services, or is it the other way around, where advisors know that there should be more on the checklist related to financial planning, money management, tax, estate planning, or insurance? You know, those are the five major areas of personal finance. You know, is it that the advisor knows there's more that should be on the checklist, but they're just unwilling to make the effort? Who knows? But when you study the data, it is clear most advisors have a weak process, and that most advisors confuse the concept of doing with the concept of making sure it gets done. So it's interesting. We have done quite a bit of research on this, especially since 2009, when we launched the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. We began working really shoulder to shoulder with some of the best advisors around. And even with that group, there was confusion, not when we clarified it, but initially there was always confusion, often confusion, I should say, about this issue. So let me lay out the context of this for you. Like, in the toolkit, there are 142 what we call deliverables checkpoints. Those are things those are the 142 things that need to happen each and every year for a client in order for them to have their financial house in perfect order. Okay. So it covers all the five areas of finance. It's 142 checklist items to make sure that, you know, that the client's financial house is in order. We call these 142 things truly comprehensive financial services. In other words, it's the accomplishment of these 142 things that is the definition in our world of comprehensive financial services. But the confusion is, an advisor will say, well, at the beginning, for example, they'll say, but I don't have anybody to do a bunch of these things. So a lot of these things are tax related or estate planning related, and they'll confuse, they'll think that it's the job of the advisor to do all of these 142 things. That's not true. The job of the advisor is to make sure these 142 things get done. And the client already has, typically, and a successful affluent client already has financial people in their life, accountants, lawyers. They've got their money parked somewhere, so money managers or bankers. So they've got professional, you know, insurance agents. They've already got these professional people around. But there is confusion on the part of the advisor about, they think it's their job to do everything for a client. And that's what comprehensive financial services makes it hard. But that's not true. That there is confusion, that the reality is it's the job of the advisor. What the client expects and what they're willing to pay for is somebody in their life, not to do everything, but just to make sure it all gets done. So the paradigm shift is just coming into this whole concept of thinking about this. Are you able to tell the difference between the two? Okay, so moving on. The next question is, are you willing to accept and focus primarily upon a financial advisor's highest priorities? Okay, so the paradigm shift is, and many advisors are very confused about this. So I say confused, again, when we compare what clients value versus what advisors are doing. And so if you were to sit down and ask a group of top producers, what are your priorities in your business? You'd get a list of things, but the list of things would not align with what the clients think should be the priorities. And if you do an academic, I'm talking about an intellectual academic study of what should be the priorities of, when I say a financial advisor, I'm talking about the owner of the business. So the individual who is client facing, owns the business, has a stake in making sure that the client gets what was promised. We call this delivering on the promise. So the question is, do you know what your priorities are? And even if you do, are you willing to spend most of your time doing those things? So there are a few paradigm shifts that fall within that question. So the first step is understanding what the priorities are, and then the second step is, you could call it time management, or you could call it priority management or time commitment. Are you willing to invest most of your time doing those priorities? And it kind of falls to the human nature question related to weight loss or any of a number of things in life that can spiral out of control for people. Why is it that there are so many things that people know the right thing to do, but just don't do them? So there are two aspects of this that kind of drive these paradigm shifts. One is, what are the priorities? And the other is, even if you know the priorities, why don't most advisors invest most of their time with the priorities? They get kind of roped into all these other things with their time. So the first thing you have to understand as far as a paradigm shift is that the paradigm shift is that financial advisors, And this is the way clients view this, and it's the way that our model works. The paradigm shift is that a financial advisor should be delegating all financial services to other skilled professionals. Now, this is very difficult for a lot of financial advisors to get their mind around. And so many financial advisors think, but I'm a financial planner. I should be creating financial plans. Or other advisors might say, you know, I'm at heart an excellent money manager, and that's what I should be doing for clients. The paradigm shift is that if you want to be radically different and if you want to focus on your priorities, then you won't be doing any of those things. Bill Bachrach uses the metaphor of an orchestra conductor. If you're doing a whole lot more for a whole lot fewer clients, then your job is to hold the team accountable. You've got all these experts who are actually doing the work. Your job is different. Your job is to stand up there on the podium and conduct the orchestra. Your job is not to jump down every once in a while into the first violin chair and play certain parts of the symphony. No, it's a division of labor. And the paradigm shift is that advisors, if they want to be different and they want to focus on their priorities, those advisors will delegate all, and I mean ultimately, not right away, it's the transition over time, it's the delegating of all financial services to other skilled and professionals. And embedded in that paradigm shift is a concept that it's a leadership concept that some advisors are able to embrace and other advisors, they really struggle with this for some reason. And it is, if you accept and acknowledge this paradigm shift, that ultimately over time you should be delegating all the mechanics of comprehensive financial services to other skilled professionals. In other words, you bring on your team a financial planning subject matter expert. You bring onto your team a tax subject matter expert, an estate planning subject matter expert, a money management subject matter expert, and an insurance subject matter expert. Those five skilled professionals. To hold them accountable to do all the financial affairs and coordinate all the financial affairs for the client. The question with this paradigm shift here is as a leader, it's one thing to build the team, but are you able to inspire that team once it's built to continue improving client value until it's the client who looks you in the eye and says you're indispensable? So the paradigm shift is some advisors think that just building the team is sufficient. And I will say that having a team and building a team puts you in a whole different category than the average advisor. You're a cut above, and you have built something remarkable just simply by having a team. However, having a team that the next step is inspiring that team not to stop providing client value or brainstorming and thinking about what more could we be doing to clients to add value to their financial life. It's the leadership ability to have a team in place that agrees never to stop improving client value until the client looks us in the eye and says you're indispensable. So it's not how we view the quality of our team, because most financial advisors who have a team are very impressed by their own teams, you know, and they wouldn't have built the team with these people if they weren't impressed by these people. But that's not what matters. What matters is whether the client is impressed by your team. So that's the paradigm shift to not only have a team, but to have a team that continues improving until the client states that your team is indispensable to them. Another paradigm shift is that advisors who are really focused on their priorities do not focus their time on the services. They've delegated those to skilled professionals. Therefore, what should the advisor be doing? Well, the priorities, the actual two priorities of the advisor, and for many advisors, this is a paradigm shift. The two things that an advisor should be investing 80% of their week doing is investing time, number one, face-to-face or on the phone serving ideal clients, or number two, investing time face-to-face or on the phone interacting with potential clients. And even to take it further, so when you look at the week, you know, right now, if you took your calendar and you looked back over the last 7 days, or let's say it's the business hours, let's say it's five work days, whatever your work week looks like, if you actually sat down and tracked the time of what you did, does 80% of that time fall into these two categories? If so, then you are accepting and focusing on your two primary priorities. And to take that further to the next paradigm shift is when we study top advisors who are adding ideal clients at an impressive clip and their clients view them as indispensable, what are the advisors actually doing? Well, they are investing 80% of their time with these two priorities, but they invest most of their week outside the office, okay? So I think it's a paradigm shift to think, wow, I most advisors invest most of their week in the office. But when you study top advisors, they spend most of their week outside of the office. So that's the paradigm shift. And then it's just an acknowledgement to focus on the priorities. You have to have a sense of what clients actually dislike. And there are several things. Clients dislike the meetings. Clients dislike the reports. Clients dislike the method of charging fees. And clients really are uncomfortable with inconsistency. So to acknowledge your priorities, are you spending time fixing these problems, things that the affluent are uncomfortable about or dislike? In other words, are you actively working and investing your time? I would say the other 20% of your time in the office, you know, are you sitting on a computer looking at the markets? Are you looking at client accounts and doing, you know, financial work? Or are you investing that 20% of the time in the office, eliminating these things that clients dislike? When it comes to the meetings, you know, successful, affluent, the paradigm shifts are, I think a skilled advisor thinks they could just walk into a meeting with minimal preparation and by the sheer brilliance of their personality that the client, you know, enjoys investing that time with the advisor. The reality is the paradigm shift is successful, affluent people dislike winging it and ill-prepared people, and that affluent clients can tell whether or not an advisor in a meeting is prepared or not. And successful advisors only want to attend meetings with the financial advisors when two things are in place. Number one, there's a compelling reason to meet. And number two, there's an effort to measure forward progress towards their financial goals, not progress in the markets, not progress in the economy or the financial markets in general. No. The paradigm shift is, are you investing your 20% of your time with administrative things in your business, making sure that when you have a client meeting that there is a compelling reason to meet and that you have invested the time necessary so that the client leaves the meeting with an overwhelming sense that they are making forward progress. And that takes time and effort on the part of the advisor in putting together the meetings. And it's the acknowledgement that successful, affluent people like to know when the next meeting is, but they dislike meeting too frequently. So I think you need to acknowledge the fact that you need to book meetings well in advance, you know, like maybe a year in advance, but be mindful of the frequency. Like, you know, don't just meet quarterly, meet when there's something, a compelling reason to meet. And then reports that display, okay, so clients dislike reports because when you study clients and ask them about the reports they get from their financial advisors and from their financial institutions, they often say that the reports that they get display the least important information and they omit the most valuable things to them. Clients, the paradigm shift is clients mainly just want to know if they're on track or not. And the reality is most pieces of paper that are put in front of a client do not report on that. They don't tell whether a client in their estate planning, if they're on track to what they actually are trying to accomplish with their cash reserves, with their tax planning, with just with their goals. Am I on track to my goals? Most clients report they leave meetings completely unaware of whether they're on track or not. And when it comes to fees, so the paradigm shifts here are that clients prefer advisors whose compensation is completely disconnected from financial products and services. Now, I know many advisors in our industry fight this. They think that clients like certain ways of, you know, being compensating the advisor. For example, many advisors charge a percentage of assets under management. But what the research shows is successful affluent people, different from what advisors think, successful affluent people view the compensation of an advisor based on a percentage of assets under management as a commission. It's a commission on a financial service, not a financial product. But nevertheless, it's viewed by the majority of affluent people as a commission. And affluent people prefer a flat fee. I mean, this is one of the most common things in the interviews that Rick Barrera and I are doing with multimillionaires. Rick's always asking about compensation. What would you be willing and what would you like? What would you be willing to do, be willing to pay and so forth? And when Rick throws out there a flat fee, it's the most commonly accepted, preferable way for an affluent multimillionaire to pay for or compensate their financial advisor. And then I think it's maybe goes without saying, but it is a paradigm shift, and I'll tell you why. Inconsistency makes successful affluent people uncomfortable, and I think we would accept this. I think there are very few financial advisors who would not acknowledge that this is true. But what makes it a paradigm shift is how few financial advisors actually sit down and invest their time to document processes for consistency. So I think these are all the issues that you have to deal with and the paradigm shifts, since you asked. These are the paradigm shifts that are important if you're willing to accept and focus your time primarily on your top priorities. And the top priorities are serving ideal clients and going out and acquiring new ones. So just to wrap up here, there are two additional things that I want to cover. What's missing in the lives of most potential clients? So it's to focus on paradigm shifts, you have to be aware and accept and acknowledge what's missing in the lives of most potential affluent people when you first meet them. One thing you have to acknowledge is that affluent people have financial people in their life already before you meet them. They have an accountant, they've got, you know, all these people that we've talked about in their lives already. But nature abhors a vacuum. What the affluent person will do subconsciously, and my point is that you can skillfully embrace this. The paradigm shift is that if you don't step up to be the client's most trusted advisor and earn that spot, then because nature abhors a vacuum, the client will do that for you. And whether it's the accountant or whoever on the team they choose to trust as their most trusted advisor, they will pick somebody. And what you need to understand is that most affluent people have nobody on their team that's a strategist. So the paradigm shift is just for you to acknowledge and recognize that all these financial people in the client's life are tacticians. They're great tactical professionals. The tax accountant does taxes. The estate planning lawyer does wills and trusts. The insurance agent is an expert in their insurance policies. But the question is, who's creating an overarching strategy and who's holding the team accountable to the client's objectives within that overarching strategy? And the answer is nobody, or if anybody, the client. But that's rare. So affluent clients have no strategists, they have no overarching financial strategy in place. And since nature abhors a vacuum, the way for you to become the most trusted advisor among all the affluent person's financial people is to be the strategist, to pull the tacticians together, to create an overarching strategy and hold the entire team and the client accountable. And I think another paradigm shift to be aware of is that affluent people value oversight over expertise. And I know this sounds crazy, but affluent people view expertise as almost a dime a dozen. I mean, they recognize that you have to have a skilled professional with experience before you take their advice. But this paradigm shift has more to do with, it's easy to go out and get advice. Everybody on their team is already giving them all kinds of advice. Advice is not a lack of advice is not the problem for most affluent people. The problem is deciding which advice is the best and which advice to actually move forward with, like knowing whether the advice is actually well aligned with the overarching strategy. So oversight's what's missing. Most affluent people have no oversight. They have no lack of advice, but they have no oversight. That's how you fill the gap. That you want to know how to become the most trusted advisor to fill the vacuum, become the client's strategist, and provide oversight, and to create a process which provides oversight. And then I don't want to spend a lot of time with this, but you know, if you're focusing on what's missing, well, the clients are the ones that tell you this. They say they have no professional in their life charged with protecting them to have their back, you know. And by the way, many financial advisors focus when it comes to insurance and risk. They have conversations with the client about the risk in their lives. You know, a paradigm shift is clients are less interested in discussing risk, although they will talk about it because they're concerned. But if you want to inspire a client and have a conversation that's different and broader and more effective, you'll focus on how to increase the client's safety instead. So they've got a plan and there are certain risks, but rather than focus on the risk, have a conversation focusing on how to create financial safety around their financial strategy. Okay? Now, protection, attention, affluent claim they have no professional on their team that's really paying close attention to their financial affairs enough to spot the need for course corrections. The affluent claim they have nobody on their team who's actually coordinating all the financial people and the financial products in their lives. And the affluent report that they're often unsure about what they're paying for the financial products and services in their life. So the advisor pact, I think, is a given that you understand that these things are missing in the client's life. Another paradigm shift is, and many financial planners will, we've had stimulative debates about this, but many financial planners will argue that financial planning is an event. You create a financial plan, and then if the client needs, or when their circumstances change, or when they need it updated, several years later, they come back and update it. The paradigm shift is, and the way to fill a gap in the financial affluent person's life is to recognize that financial planning is a process, and that successful people intuitively know this, and they're uncomfortable until there's actually a comprehensive written financial strategy in place. In other words, there's a document in place which sets the strategy, and that creates a way to measure progress. So what creates the financial planning process is this whole idea of having a strategy in place along with ways to measure success. And then I've mentioned this already, but it's clear over and over when you talk to affluent people, when they do meet with their financial advisor, it's very few clients who report that at the end of the meeting, they understand or are told whether they're on track or not. And that affluent people want to see, I tell you one thing that is a huge paradigm shift, and I have conversations with financial planners on the Trusted Advisor Toolkit regularly about this. In the toolkit, we require financial planners to document which accounts will actually fund the future goals, even if the financial target date for the goal is 10 or 20 years from now. So it seems crazy to a financial planner that you would tell a client that, hey, when you become financially independent 15 years from now, that in June of you know, the year 15 years from now, when you begin taking distributions out of that you've been saving up all these years for, here are the accounts where that money's going to come from. That not only do clients want to be reported that they're on track, affluent clients actually value and want to see the details. And so this whole idea of financial planning being a process is a big paradigm shift. And most advisors make no attempt to create an experience. So if you know, when we're talking about what's missing in the lives of financial affluent people, you know, they don't have a single most trusted advisor. They don't have these four things that matter deeply to them, which we call advisor pact. They do not have a process in place to measure success. And on top of all that procedural stuff, most advisors make zero attempt to create a compelling experience out of this whole process. So it's the focus on the client experience. And to the, I think the way you understand this, it's not that you, here's the way I want to say it. This is how, what the research holds. To the affluent people, advisor competency is a given. In other words, we assume in researching the affluent that they are only going to deal with competent people, okay? So we can assume that affluent people are attracted to competent professionals, and they quickly dismiss or fire client advisors who are incompetent or are marginally competent. But what you need to know about the client experience is competency is not the issue. Competency is a given. Therefore, what actually is the dividing line between an okay advisor versus an advisor that breaks out into the major leagues? You know, the advisor that the client says, wow, that advisor is radically different and better. It's this idea of creating a client experience. So therefore, competency puts an advisor in the minor leagues. So if you are competent, you have a lot to be proud of just by being competent, because there are a lot of incompetent advisors out there. But this idea of being competent just places you in the minor leagues. It just allows, it's the ticket to admission that allows you to even play the game. But the advisor that is able to marry competence with an extraordinary experience represents the breakout into the major leagues. So it's that dividing line of creating an extraordinary client experience out of a competent process, a robust process that's highly competent. That's what makes the difference. So you want to know what's missing in an affluent client's life. These are the four things that, you know, these are the paradigm shifts. These are the things that an advisor who's really interested in being radically different and better than other advisors, these are the paradigm shifts that they accept. Now, let's talk about measuring success, and then we're done. The paradigm shift in measuring success, I think we think about financial affairs, you know, measuring success to make sure that from one meeting to the next, the client's financial assets are higher. You know, these are all things you cannot control. That when we're talking about measuring success of a business that is radically different and better, and that clients view as, you know, as completely different, and what they're seeking, what they're willing to pay the most for, and what they want the most out of the relationship. That when you actually study these relationships that are highly effective relationships, trust is the only measure of the client relationship. Affluent clients must have zero doubt in their heads that the financial advisor has their best interest at heart. Now, the reason it's a paradigm shift is this is why we ask advisors to record their meetings. It's anything in those past meetings. Are you able to pick up on anything where a client is hedging on their ability to trust? Either they question advice, or they don't take advice, or they're not candid, they don't open up. You know, these are all indications and clues that the trust is not where it needs to be. So the paradigm shift is, are you aware that the only thing that really matters in the relationship is trust? Once the client trusts you, then all these other things, competence and all these other givens, you know, trust is the thing that unlocks the relationship. And if you're wondering to know how to measure trust, I'll leave it at this. The only thing that you should be measuring to measure whether your trust is where it needs to be is what we call an increase in the rate of referrals from existing ideal clients. So it's not the number of referrals, it's the rate of referrals. So if let's say over the last 90 days, you received 3 referrals from existing clients, then I'm not saying whether that's good or bad. I'm just saying that's a baseline. That's a benchmark. So that the way you measure whether clients trust you more, and if you're increasing the trust meter, as Bill calls it, that will be reflected over time in an increase in the rate of referrals. So when 3 referrals over 90 days increases to 3.25, 3.5, 4, it's track that rate of referrals like you would track a stock. And what you're if the rate fails to increase, you've got all these questions that are relevant that you have to deal with. Is it possible you just don't have enough clients? Is it possible that you don't have among your clients enough, again, what Rick Barrera calls marketing apostles? So we could go on and on and on about this single subject, about what drives this referral rate. And in some cases, you need to work on client acquisition. Like maybe it all drives back to these other paradigm shifts. If you don't have enough clients, then the next question is going back to the other paradigm shifts. Are you investing 80% of your time outside of the office, you know, face-to-face or on the phone with potential clients? Yes or no? So my point is that I don't know what the number is. Even if you have 3 clients, ideal clients, you should be measuring this rate of referrals. And the only way that you're certain that your trust meter is rising is when the rate of referrals increases. Even if it's at a paltry level currently, any increase is measurable. And the question is the rate increasing or decreasing? Are you adding value enough in the client's mind? Do they think you are so remarkable that they cannot resist remarking about you to other people? Maybe a client isn't the type to refer people. Maybe they don't get involved in their friends and relatives' financial lives. The point is, all of us have people in our lives that that have financial things occur to them. You know, people get divorced, people get a windfall, they get a bonus at work, people complain about the rate, mortgage rate on their mortgage interest rate, or their credit card rates or whatever. People get inheritances. There are times in all of our lives when money is in motion, and whenever somebody in your client's life has money in motion, it may be for marketing apostles, it could be all the time, and for some clients, it's almost never. But the question is, whenever those conversations do come up, is their initial automatic reaction to introduce that person to you? That's the question on the table. If whenever a financial issue ever comes up in the life of someone that your client cares about, whether they're talking about a financial issue in their life or they're complaining about their investments or whatever the case, whenever the issue of finances ever come up, it could be with their adult children talking about their 401ks or whatever, their retirement plans or whatever. Whenever the subject of money comes up, is it your ideal client's initial gut reaction to react by saying something along the lines of, "You have got to talk to my financial advisor. My advisor is so remarkable in that area that, you know, you'd be a fool to talk to anybody but my financial advisor." And that's what I mean. It goes that rate of referrals, that increase in rate of referrals, which could start very, very slow, but if you're diligent, you recognize the paradigm shift. This is the only metric to track. That over time, as you add ideal clients and as you're working hard with your team to increase value in the lives, financial lives of your client, that rate will increase because more and more and more, they trust making sure that the people in their lives that they care about only deal with you when it comes to their money. And if that rate doesn't increase or never, or actually decreases, then you know, the paradigm shift is, do you recognize that as the single leading indicator to work with your team to acknowledge that that's what we have to work on, that is the measure of trust? People do not introduce us to people that they know and love and care about unless they truly trust that we not only do a great job for them, but they can risk mentioning us to others in their lives because they are confident that we will, they can trust that we will take care of that, of those people as well. So these are the five key questions, and those are all the paradigm shifts. That answers the question. I'm 13 minutes over time here, but at least we covered all the paradigm shifts that we study in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. So that's it for this month. That actually wraps up the Advisor Pact monthly session for December of 2016. So the next time we meet, it'll be a new year. But as always, we wish you all the best in implementing.